point.
The Disney Conversations podcast is ready to load up. We're taking another tour this week talking about how Disney Resort Hotels came to be. Special guest tour guide Lori Harding joins us again. We hope you enjoy tour number 115 of Disney Conversations. All aboard! Well, hey there, tourists. Tour number 115 brings us to the history of Disney Resort Hotels. Now, you may be wondering why I decided that. If you've listened to our shows over the last 4 or 5 months, you've heard Diane and I talk a lot about what all these resorts have, pluses, minuses, all the details. But it got me to thinking about how did that all come about and where do we go from here? So we're going to step back in time to the opening of Walt Disney World. And to help us discuss this is our very special tour guide, Lori Harding. Hi, Lori. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing great. And I'm so glad you're able to join me for this discussion. Because once again, I was going to try and do this on my own. I cannot hold a conversation with myself. It just doesn't work.
Yeah, it's better when you have somebody to talk to.
Well, and that's
fair.
That's the way I'm thinking. And you've been around Disney long enough that I know once we get to a certain point in this list, you're going to be able to contribute quite a bit. And I'm really grateful for that. So thank you for coming on.
Anytime.
So I want to just go ahead and jump into this. I don't want to spend 4 episodes talking through this, but we could.
Probably, yes.
But we don't need to because all the other information is on past shows. So folks, go back to the past tours, listen to those, get the details on these resorts, jump on YouTube, check out our friend Magical Hijinks. She's got all kinds of cool videos at almost all of these. And if she doesn't have something done yet, I'm sure she will at some point. So we're going to jump right in. Back when the resort opened in 1971, there were only 2 resorts open. Now, there were more than that were planned, but only 2 came to reality. And as we talked a couple of shows ago, Disney's Contemporary Resort was built as a modular resort. All the rooms were brought in on the back of semi-trucks, slid into place, and pretty much left be. Now, we talked about this before. I got to mention it now. I think that was cool technology for the 1960s and 70s.
I think it would have been cool to see. I mean, like, just looking at the old pictures and the little bits of video you can get in and out, you know, here and there, it looks like it would have been interesting to watch that happen.
Yeah, I agree. I would have loved to watch them put at least some of that together just to understand.
Like a giant Lego set.
Yeah, just to understand how they were doing it, you know?
Yeah.
But like Diane pointed out, they had hoped when it came time to refurbish, they could slide them out of place. But somebody forgot that when buildings settle, things are no longer plumb and square.
Especially on a Florida swamp.
Yes. And then the other resort that opened at the same time is Disney Polynesian Village Resort. Both of those are within walking distance of the Magic Kingdom, but in 1971, that's pretty much all there was. So that's okay. We understand that those are there. Now, there was one other resort in the early days that opened up, and that was At that time, it was the Walt Disney World Golf Resort, I believe is what it was called. And I'm sorry, folks, I lost my notes on this, so I don't have that specifically in my head. It eventually became the Disney Inn, which is the name that I remembered it by. But it was sandwiched between the 2 big golf courses, I believe Palm and Magnolia. It is now Shades of Green. Disney sold it to the military, and that's why Disney doesn't provide a lot of the services there anymore because the military is running that. But I applaud them because they're allowing service people, past and present, to stay at that resort so they can lessen the impact on the finances of those in our armed services. I love that idea. So that's just like a real quick history of that resort. And that's all we're going to talk about it. But what do you think about that, Lori?
Okay. I think that's a good thing. I mean, it's right over on the other side of the Poly, isn't it? It's
yeah.
Just you across the parking
you can,
lot.
You
like
can actually see it, but you can't walk to it.
Gotcha. Yeah, I've never been over there.
And then, of course, also open at the same time was Disney's Fort Wilderness Resort and Campground. It opened a little later in November of 1971. It is still the most cost-effective way to go to the Disney, but it's better if you can provide your own source for camping, be that a tent or a camper or an RV or something along that lines. But my gosh, if you look at it today, there is so much to do at Fort Wilderness, and I still want to do a show just on staying there. I'm just trying to find the right guest to come on and talk about it.
Yeah, I'll have to think about if I know anybody who's actually stayed there for more than one trip, and I actually think I might, so we'll talk later.
Yeah, I have no doubt. When I first went, which was October 1982, when Epcot opened up, that was my first trip. In 1982, the groundwork for the Grand Floridian had begun, but I had no idea at that time how big that resort was going to be. But the cool thing was, when I first started going to Disney in 82, I went every 6 months or so for the first 4 to 5 years. And I got to see the evolution of Grand Floridian as it basically rose from the ground. Okay. And they've added on to it a couple of times since then. They're currently adding on now. But that resort, even back then, was huge. I didn't get to see the inside of it because it never got completed during that time, as it didn't open until June of 1988. And by that time, my life had taken a turn and I wasn't going to Disney as much. I don't know why, but I wasn't. And then shortly following that was Disney's Caribbean Beach Resort. My question is, was that resort always that big?
Okay, so my first official trip to Disney World was 1985. I got a half a day in the Magic Kingdom, and then the family I was with had to leave because someone didn't feel well. And I didn't get back there until 2011.
Oh, wow.
So although I have been at a bunch of the resorts, I don't know if that one's ever been that big, that always been that big. I'm pretty sure it's been big the most of the time. I mean, they may have added a little bit onto it, but I can't see where. It's just the way it's laid out. It's just the way I think they intended it to be.
Yeah, I think you're right, because they really wanted it to feel like you were in the Caribbean. They still do. Yeah. I mean, they just did a refresh on a lot of the resort, both inside and out. I remember they were painting buildings when I was down there 2 years ago, because I could see them when I, you know, you take the Skyliner, you fly right over and into Caribbean Beach.
Yeah, I think that's the closest I've been.
Yeah, but you can see the whole resort from up there.
Yeah.
My daughter wanted to stay there last year, and I talked her out of it. And there's a part of me that's thinking, I might want to go back there sometime and stay there. But that for me would almost have to be a resort only or limited park time, because I want to use that resort. If it's that big and it's got that much to offer, I could spend 3 days there and not miss a thing.
There's a couple of them that are that big that you could do that with, right, I think, at this point.
By 1984, Michael Eisner had stepped in as CEO, and he went through 2005. So we're starting in his era, you know, with the Grand Floridian and some others. But before we go into what the resorts were that came to be under him, because there were many, I wanted to kind of throw out the idea of why they went this way. Because back in 1982, I had to stay out at Lake Buena Vista, which is now the Disney Springs Resort Area Hotels.
Okay.
Back then, there were only 5 hotels to choose from. The 6th one came a little bit later. So I have stayed in my time there. At first, I stayed at Hotel Royal Plaza, which is now the B Resort.
Okay.
I stayed at the Travelodge Tower, which was a Viscount at one point, and I don't know what it is now. That's a pretty hotel. And we had a really good room. We were on like the 11th floor, I think. And I could see both Magic Kingdom and Epcot from there.
Oh, nice.
Could see the castle and Spaceship Earth. And then I've also stayed at the Buena Vista Palace.
Okay.
And that was nice. And when I stayed there, that was before Downtown Disney was even dreamt of. It was just Disney Village. And it was easily walkable because it was not that big. It was half the size of what Downtown Disney was. And probably not even a quarter the size of what we see now with Disney Springs. So when I was there, that's where I stayed, and Disney provided transportation. That was wise on Disney's part because it kept people from leaving there to go other places. Take that thought, enter Michael Eisner, blow that thought up, and his thought is, we need to expand our resort hotels and our transportation system so people have no reason to go anywhere else. That's when the evolution of Downtown Disney came around, and that's when Michael Eisner added at least, I want to think, 10, 12, maybe 14 of these resorts. And he might get credit for one more because it was sort of started during his era but didn't finish up then.
Give him half credit.
Yeah. November 5th of 1990, Disney's Yacht Club Resort opens up. A few weeks after that, November 19th, 1990, Beach Club opens up. It's no wonder we consider them pretty much the same resort. One, they're right next to each other. And if I'm not mistaken, if you walk through the right hallway, they're connected. You don't even have to go outside.
Absolutely correct. I've done it.
Yeah, I thought I did too, but that's been a few years back. I'm getting to the point where my memory's not as good on some of that stuff.
That I do remember doing.
Yeah. And then July 1st, 1996, you got Disney's Boardwalk Inn, which, again, I have not been in. I have seen some videos.
I have been in. I have not stayed, but I've been in.
It is undergoing some refurbishment right now, and some of the new rooms I've seen look amazing. So I think that could enter in on my radar.
And here's the one thing that I'm listening to the pattern of, you're giving me the history that I don't really know of the order right. of some of all of these hotels.
And actually, I'm looking at these dates on here, and I use ChatGPT or GPT, so I don't know why it gave me that date because there's two hotels that opened before that. So that might.
Okay, so that might break my theory about what I was just going to say to you.
Go ahead.
All but one so far are what we now consider a deluxe resort, too.
Correct. So I think that's
continue
where
on your quest.
I think that's where this got flipped around. I think Boardwalk needs to go down two steps because before okay. that was All Star Sports.
Okay.
April 29th of 1994 and All Star Music on November 22nd, 1994. And we know that both of those are still today, believe it or not, value resorts. They are the yes. least expensive places that you can stay on property and still benefit from being at Disney.
Correct.
Now, I've never stayed in either one of them.
I have stayed in Music.
Okay. And I think Music is the one that has some family suites.
Yes.
I believe.
Couple, I believe. Mm-hmm. I think that's the one.
4KWDW just did a tour of All-Star Music. And I love his videos because he doesn't talk. He has the microphone on, has the camera going. He just walks through the resort. And on this particular trip, I don't know if he got access to the room or if that was his room, but he was in one of the family suites. And my gosh, for a value, I would stay there.
If I remember correctly, I know somebody who stayed in one, that it's a pretty big room for being a value.
And it's got a small kitchenette area. It's a microwave, a full-size fridge, and I think it had a stovetop.
Oh, wow.
I can't remember. Okay. Don't take that to the bank, folks, but I think it had a stovetop. So then after All-Star Music is where Boardwalk should have been listed if these dates are okay. correct on here. So I'm going down through these dates to make sure I get these in order. So based on date opening, the next resort that opened was Disney's Coronado Springs Resort. Again, a rather large resort. It's got a corporate feel to it because it does do a lot of convention business. And they just added Grandestino Tower
yeah.
over the last few years. So it made it even bigger in some ways. And again, I have not stayed at this resort, but this is on my bucket list.
I have stayed at this resort and it is on my please don't go back list. So,
and why is that?
We had a lot of hiccups on that trip. Some of it resort related, some not, but it's just too spread out for me. The idea of having to get on a bus
yeah.
to just go to the front of the resort,
right.
to me, it's a little tedious. And we had issues when we checked in. We were a large group coming in. It was us and my mother and stepfather. We were a couple of rooms of people, and we were all guaranteed we'd be at least in the same, everything's a casita over
yeah.
there. And when my mom checked in the day after us, her room wasn't ready because it was like 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Went to Epcot, did our thing all day, had dinner, got her room text, and she was in a casita half across the other side from us. And all of her luggage was in my room and everything was there because they told us she'd be so close, it wouldn't be a problem.
Right.
So at midnight, we're moving rooms and we're moving stuff and we're moving it, and it was just, Unfortunately, we were there at the time. There's a very large convention going on, and there was a former First Lady of the United States staying on property, and she had an entire casita to her and her Secret Service, and that's what goofed everything up. So it was messy,
May not
and
be the resort's fault. Well, let's blame her because,
yeah, we'll blame her and we'll leave it at that. But it just, again, the idea of how spread out it was and how you had to take a bus just to go get breakfast was just a bit on
I
the
think some of that's been
too big
resolved
side for
by
us.
now because along with the tower, they redid a lot of stuff around the lake. So now you've got, I mean, you got three bridges, lounge and restaurant, which is right in the middle of the lake. Well,
Smack in the middle, yeah.
there's three docks to get to it. So, you know, you got walkways to walk out there. That just might resolve some of that
Cut
issue.
some of the distance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not against checking it out. I wouldn't mind staying there at least for a couple of days. And I don't know if I care if I'm in the tower or not. I think I might want one of the older rooms because they'll be a little bit bigger than the tower rooms, I would think.
I mean, it was a decent sized room that I remember. We had a two queen room, and it was pretty big.
Yeah.
It's a while ago. Trying to remember, that was a long time ago.
So then you get All Star Movies, and this is where I started redeveloping my interest going to Walt Disney World because this was a couple of years after we got married, and I got a postcard in the mail with a phenomenal rate on it, but there were no details. I knew what to expect, but I called and acted like I didn't know a thing. So I told him I wanted in on this deal. So we got to talking and we started making a reservation. Then I said to the cast member, I said, "Now, this does include tickets, right? Because nowhere on this paperwork does it say it doesn't."
Right.
She says, "Oh, no, admission is separate." I said, "Oh, and then how much would that be?" Well, my wife said no right away. I really should have asked those questions more in detail before we got married. I mean, I think All Star Movies, when it was brand new, would have been a really cool resort to go visit.
Somebody on YouTube just did a whole stay there. I'm trying to think of who it was. Oh, it might have been Molly on
I
Name of
believe it
Club.
was. Yeah, they
I think it was Molly
I think they
Nolan.
posted that maybe midweek last week.
Yeah, I feel like I just saw it
Yeah,
recently.
it has. It's actually on my list of things to watch, but I haven't watched it yet.
Feel like I did while I was working one day last week. I ran him in the background.
Yeah. So All-Star Movies, I like the theming there, what I've seen. I would have loved to have stayed there during their opening because that was right when they were starting to. I mean, I got that card inviting us to be amongst the first guests. I almost considered doing that just as a resort stay because for me, that was the first Disney resort I would have stayed in.
Oh, yeah,
You
true.
know?
From what
And
you've said before,
that's
yeah.
the part that got me excited. I was like, wait, Disney's doing hotels on property now? I got to see this. We won't talk about the fact that it took me several years later to be able to pull that off.
Okay.
Okay, so then after All Star Movies, on April 16th, 2001, we have Animal Kingdom Lodge opening up. And I didn't realize that
Okay.
that's when that was.
That old?
Yeah.
I have stayed there. That's one I have stayed in.
Yep. And I'm looking here because I need to back up a little bit because ChatGPT did not put things in order. May
Uh-oh.
28th, 1994, Wilderness Lodge.
Oh, stayed there
Yep.
too. That's my
I've been in there. I went and visited DVC when I was there last time before I went over to Hoop-De-Doo. So I got to see some of the DVC accommodations. And then I just sat in the lobby for like an hour and just soaked it in. Because that's a resort where you can do that and get away with it.
Absolutely.
And yeah, I could see myself. The first time I saw the inside of that, there was a 40-foot Christmas tree in the middle of the place.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah,
I might have
I could
exaggerated
see.
the height,
Yeah.
folks, but from where I was standing,
I don't think so.
I mean, it.
That's a what? It's a 7 or 8 story atrium.
Yeah, and
So
that tree goes.
it's
That
possible.
tree goes almost all the way up.
And it's lofted at the top
Yes.
too, because I stayed concierge there, which is the top floor, and the ceiling goes up from there as
Right.
well. It's like pointed rafter, so it's possible.
So at the very least, folks, if you're down there at Christmas time, go visit Wilderness Lodge because being in there during Christmas is worth it. And then one of our favorite resorts opens up Disney's Pop Century Resort, opened on December 14th, 2003. It opened up a new area for, at that point in time, value level resorts. I think currently I would name that something else because it's not a true value anymore. With the introduction of the game-changing Skyliner, that explains why that is no longer an actual bottom level value resort, because having that piece of transportation, it's almost better than a monorail in a lot of ways. And I love the monorail.
Yeah, you know my feelings on Pop Century. That's, I mean, it's my, well, okay, I just said the Wilbur Slider is my favorite, but that's my favorite deluxe. We'll leave it at that for now, of all the ones I've stayed in. And value wise, I've only stayed in All Star Music and Pop, but you book my trips. You know, I continue to go back to Pop. Yep. And after this last one last year with that Skyliner, game changing. I just, you know, we booked
again. Well, especially because, like, you know, you and I last year, we were on scooters. There's no easier form of transportation if you're on a scooter.
Absolutely not. Zip right in by yourself and zip right out when
you get there. The only place that that's really an issue is at the Riviera, because they don't pull the cars off to the side there. I don't know why they didn't come up with a way to make that happen there, but you know, if they ever redesign that, they need space, because that's why the Epcot line stops as much as it does.
Slows down.
You know, because they got to load these people on there, and it's an inline loading system. So
they got to pause you at least to get on.
You got the Skyliner, easy access to Epcot and Hollywood Studios. And if you want to go to Caribbean Beach and try Sebastian's as a suggestion, you could do that. It's easy. That's the reason why Pop is a little more. I have not seen it below $200 a night in quite some time, even in low season.
Trying to think if any of those, I think a couple of those nights you had for me are very close.
Yeah, they are.
If I'm not mistaken.
They are, but they're not quite there yet.
No. That one discounted night might be. The one that fell under the promotion might be under.
Right.
But I don't remember, to be honest.
Now, I just realized that Port Orleans is not on this list, and I don't know why. So I may
have. That's odd.
Yeah, it really is. Because Riverside was originally Dixie Landings, correct?
I believe so, yeah. I'm Googling right now.
Yeah, me too.
Something to see if I can get them in a different order for you.
I don't know exactly when they were built, but I have a feeling it was probably before Pop opened up.
Port Orleans French Quarter is May 17th, 1991. Okay. Riverside is February 2nd, 1992.
Okay. Yeah, so they fall in there between Boardwalk and All-Stars, basically.
Yeah.
Or Beach Club. Yeah, Beach Club and All-Stars. They're sister resorts. That's pretty cool because, like, I know that French Quarter's pool is going to be down the first part of next year. It's not an issue. It's a 10-minute walk over to Riverside to their pool, and you can do that. You could do that now.
Can't you do the internal buses, too?
No, because they don't always go to each resort. Depends on time of day.
Oh, okay.
You can, if you want to, go take the boat. But, I mean, I found it just as quick to walk the little path over there as it was. By the time you wait for the boat, get on the boat, get there, get off the boat, you could be there in most cases. And and the reason I say that is because my wife and I went there to see Yeehaw Bob. I went straight over there from Hoop-Dee-Doo, went straight to Riverside. My wife came over, and then unfortunately my daughter got sick. So my wife had to go back to French Quarter. Well, she went over there, helped get her cleaned up. Housekeeping was there helping as well. She got back to me in half hour, 35 minutes. And most of that was in the room time. So it was not a long walk at all. And yeah, I was on a scooter, but as I said last week, you can only scoot as fast as the people around you can walk. And when my wife and I left Yeehaw Bob to go back to our resort, we took our time going over there, but it still only took us 15 minutes. You know, and that's going at what I would call a romantic pace.
Okay.
It's not that far apart. It looks like it on the map until you actually really look at the detail.
Start walking
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Because there comes a point where the path kind of splits up and you either go up to the main building at Riverside or you curve off and you go towards the pool.
I have never been over there. So it's one on our list because we have to get gluten-free beignets at some point.
Absolutely. They got them.
Haven't done it yet. I know they
There
do.
you
Don't think
go.
Sarah hasn't told them.
Yep. Then after Pop Century, we got Saratoga Springs, which is mainly DVC, but available for anybody. This list did not do a good job. It's missing Old Key West. Old Key West needs to be on this list because it was the first DVC resort. When DVC first went into business back in the early 2000s, I think, that was the first resort, and you could get them pretty cheap back then.
Back in the day, right?
Oh, I wanted to do that so bad because I knew I wanted to spend my vacations down there, but again, I didn't ask the right questions before I got married.
I'm looking for the date for you for Old Key West right now. December 20th, 1991.
Okay. So 1991, which was a little bit before I got married. See, I should have bought them back then. Then she couldn't have argued with
me. You already had it at that point.
I would have. And maybe we could have honeymooned down there the way I wanted to instead of going hiking and trying to kill me on the first week. Oh, did I say that out loud?
I heard nothing.
I might have to edit that out.
Nothing.
But she doesn't listen to this anyways.
In case she listens.
She doesn't listen to this anyways.
I was going to say, is she in earshot right now?
Not with the door closed.
All right, cool. Very good. Secret safe with me.
So again, Saratoga Springs, Old Key West, those are resorts I at least want to visit. But I'm pretty sure Old Key West and Saratoga, if you're wanting to buy DVC points, resale, those are typically the better priced ones.
The lowest ones, yeah.
But some of the resort fees, you know, the maintenance fees can be a little higher on the older properties. So you have to kind of balance that and see what fits for you. In August of 2009, Bay Lake Tower was added onto the Contemporary. And then here's the one that I love. Again, it's considered a value level resort by Disney, not by me.
Art of Animation.
Disney's Art of Animation. The building, the framework for the buildings was done at the same time as Pop Century, but they were never developed.
Weren't they supposed to be like the 20s, the 30s, the 40s, like the eras before Pop Century?
Right.
Yeah.
I think so. I think so. Because, and so I'm looking here, and that falls under Bob Iger's tenure. And I applaud him for deciding to do something with that rather than tear it down and start over. Disney's Art of Animation Resort opened on May 31st, 2012. I watched that on YouTube, and it was a cool ceremony. But we stayed there the following December. So the building was just barely 6 months old when we walked into a Lion King suite, and it still smelled brand new.
Oh, wow. When our first on-property stay was in 2011 at Pop Century.
Yeah.
So they were still building it across the way when we were there.
Yeah, our first trip was February of 2011, and we stayed at Riverside on that trip. That was my first on-site Disney resort stay.
Okay. We did Pop Century in August.
It wasn't until we made that first trip that I realized why they did all this, because I got to see Downtown Disney, and it was so much more than what the village was. And if they'd have kept it that way for me, I'd have been fine with that. But then they blew it up in the Disney Springs, and my Lord, you can get lost in that place.
Yes, you certainly
for
can.
For days. Don't make a wrong turn, folks. They may never find you again.
But there's plenty of places to have dinner or snacks, so
well, that's true.
You'd be all right.
Well, yeah. If you got bottomless pockets and you don't have to worry about paying for it, you're fine.
Yeah, well,
there ain't nothing cheap there. I would have loved to eat at Morimoto Asia, but we ate at the street window instead. I mean, I had two little ribs. Those were $15.
Of course.
No, I'll take it back. It was three ribs. It was $5 a rib. I remember that. Now, they were delicious. I would have loved to have twice that many, but I wasn't. If I'm paying $30, there better be a slab on that plate.
I'm going to sit down.
Exactly.
And you're going to be sitting down somewhere.
Art of Animation comes along in May of 2012. If you have not seen this resort, I urge you highly, take a resort day, jump on a Disney bus if that's what you got to do to get there, or jump on a Skyliner outside of Epcot or Studios and go spend part of your day at Art of Animation. If you've got little kids, you will not regret that, especially the car section, because the cars are there and you can climb on them a little bit. Not too much, but you can get your pictures taken with them. all that kind of stuff. So it's really, really cool. And the only section of that that really qualifies as value level is Little Mermaid, and it's the farthest building from everything. I try not to put people there because at the end of the day, the last thing you want to do is take 15 minutes.
Find a new room.
Yeah. Now, with the Skyliner, it's not as bad. It's actually a little bit easier.
I was going to say, are they closer?
I don't know if it's necessarily closer, but it's an easier walk. It's one sidewalk. You're there.
Okay.
Yeah, you come off the bridge, and I think you just bear to the right a little bit, walk around, walk around Lion King buildings, drops you right in there at Little Mermaid.
I can remember being on the buses coming back from some of the parks and people being on there going to Art of Animation who were staying closer to Pop than they were to the front of Art of Animation. So they'd get on the Pop buses to go back.
Well, and I actually did that too because, well, I didn't do that, but I considered that, especially when you're coming out of Magic Kingdom. If there's no bus for Art, but there's a bus for Pop and room for you to get on it, get on, walk across the bridge. Yeah. It's not that far.
Yeah.
You'll get back quicker than if you wait for the next Art bus, because that could be 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And then the rest of everything that's opened up since then has pretty much been DVC related. I'm not really going to get into that much because we talk about that all the time. And of course, the last experience that opened up has failed miserably, folks. The last trip is in November. Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser set to close by the end of this year. I think it would have been a cool experience if it had been about half the price. I think they could have made a go of it consistently. I don't even want to guess what they're going to do with it. I think they're going to have to tear it down and start over again if they're going to put another resort in there.
Yeah, because it's not all that large from what I understand.
It's only 100 rooms, I think.
The rooms, and they're tiny. Yeah. They're not big at all. And with the theming the way it is, like, what could you turn it into that isn't Star Wars anyway?
I've heard people speculate they could turn it into a deluxe. I'm like, no, they couldn't. If they couldn't sell it the way it is, they're not going to sell it as a deluxe.
No, not with your only, like, close access point is Hollywood Studios.
Right. And you've got no pool.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what choices you have for food there. I think there's only one, maybe two.
I think there's one.
But still, the level of quality for that probably isn't deluxe level.
But would you be able to turn it deluxe even with that kind of space and time and size?
Yeah, because like you said, the rooms, they're basically pods. You go in, there's a couple of bunks and a bathroom, that's it.
And some of the rooms have like a, I don't even know if it's a queen, it might even be a full. Yeah. And the bunk beds. Right. And like, that's the biggest rooms I think that there are.
To me, it doesn't make sense. I think I'm sad that it's going away. Sort of, because as a Star Wars fan, I would have loved to have been able to see it. But at that price point, there was no way it was going to happen.
No.
And for anybody else who would want to see it, I'm sorry for them too, because of the same reason. But I don't see how they can keep it the way it is and make money. They probably do better leaving it abandoned and claiming it on the taxes at the end of the year.
Which may be what they're going to do.
Could be. So
time will tell.
I don't know exactly what the future is for Disney resorts. I am glad that Michael Eisner had the foresight to make it all one package. Orlando had Church Street Station for many, many years. That was the drive, I believe, behind expanding the village into downtown Disney. It was basically to compete with that. You know, they expanded the transportation system. I don't know exactly how many buses they have because that's backstage information and it's classified. But I've driven buses long enough and I kind of have a figure in my head. I would have to guess they probably have a minimum 350 buses on hand to move everybody.
Do you think it's less than it was before the Skyliner?
Oh, they still have the buses, whether or not they use them all.
Right.
You know,
I
don't know about that. I did notice on this last trip that they have gotten rid of the older GMCs that they used to have. And the trip before, those were still there. So they've modernized the entire fleet to some degree. I don't think they've gone to anything that's natural gas or electric based or anything like that. And I'm not sure it would make sense for them to do that. The regular buses, not the articulated ones, but all the regular buses are the same make and general model. So they can order extra parts to keep on hand and fix 90% of what might break down overnight, possibly.
Gotcha.
Now, with the articulated buses, that's a whole nother story. They've got two different makes. How they do parts on those, I don't know. And they don't have a lot of the articulated buses. The number is actually quite small, but everybody wants to ride on one.
I've only ever seen them going into Magic Kingdom.
That they primarily service Magic Kingdom and the larger resorts. So, like, you'll see them in front of Pop a lot of times going to Magic Kingdom. Probably see them at Art of Animation for the same reason. You might see them at Caribbean Beach,
okay,
like All Stars and all those. I don't know if you would see them over there. You might. The thing is, with Pop and the All Stars, their properties are all about the same size. The rooms are.
All Stars used to be, like, in the middle of the day, the buses, it was only one bus for all
right.
three resorts.
And I think it may still but be that way in the middle of the day, though.
From what I understand, it's changed. Okay. From the last little bit I saw on somebody that they said, no, that 90% of the time they each have their own individual bus. Because whoever's last in line, you like have trouble getting on the
right.
I think this movie's fast.
Yeah, I think so.
This music is in the middle. That I remember for right. sure, because we had a couple of issues right. getting on buses even when we were in the middle.
So, folks, that may or may not be the exhaustive list of when the resorts came into being, and I thought it was an interesting topic, so I wanted to talk about it. So there you go. I credit Michael Eisner for the bulk of this. I think Bob Iger had a lot to do from Art of Animation on, because without his okay, it would have. And unfortunately, I think the failure for the Galactic Star Cruiser has to fall on Bob Chapek, because I think he's the one who set the pricing standard on it. That's all I can really say about that. Lori, I really appreciate you coming in and helping us out this week.
Anytime.
I'm glad to have you aboard. And tourists, that'll do it for this tour of Disney Conversations. We'll catch you again next week. Bye, Lori.
Bye.
Well, that's it for this tour of Disney Conversations. I hope you'll join us next time when Diane Whiting joins us to talk about her recent visit to the Disneyland Resort. Until then, my friends, have a great week. We'll talk to you again soon.
PTFN, ta-ta for now.